You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday morning. It is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
A blessed Friday morning to you. Did you have a good week?
Yes, very good. And you?
I did. Thank you. I did. And excited. We've got a field trip coming up this afternoon. Some students coming to visit us. Looking forward to meeting with them. Students coming to us from the Metro East. Some homeschool groups. Looking forward to meeting with them today.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And speaking of fun and learning, we have a learning opportunity coming up this summer, correct? Coming up very soon, this month?
Yeah, actually this coming week, June 10 and 11th. That's Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th of this year at Concordia University, St. Paul, Minnesota. The Society of Creation will have one of its conferences. The theme is The Origin of Humans, Adam and Eve, Myth or Reality. Keynote speakers include Dr. Robert Carter, who has a PhD in marine biology, and Dr. David Menton, who has a PhD in cell biology. And, of course, Dr. Menton is familiar to some of our listeners because of his work with Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, as well as formerly being with Washington University here in St. Louis, Missouri. And looks like a very good conference. It will be at Concordia, St. Paul, Minnesota. So if you're able to get there, you can call this number, 651-641-8230, 651-641-8230, for more information about how to register and go. It's also going to be broadcast live from St. Paul to participants at Concordia University campuses in Mequon, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Austin, Texas. So we hope that people in those areas as well will avail themselves of this wonderful opportunity to contemplate the matter of human origins, the biblical account of Adam and Eve, and what the best scientific evidence has to say in support of what the Bible teaches and against the fallible theory of evolution.
Well, I had a chance to talk with some of the speakers for that event, both of the speakers for the Creation Conference this summer, and that's on Faith and Family. You can find that in the archives of Faith and Family, a chance to talk with both the speakers.
Excellent. So one more opportunity for our listeners to listen to that and encourage their family and friends to listen to that, so we hope that they will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what is our topic for Creation Club today?
Well, today I wanted to talk about a flat earth. I said, what? And what we can maybe use as a way to get into that is here in the St. Louis area right now, even as we speak, two replicas of the ships Nina and Pinta, which were ships of the Christopher Columbus voyage of exploration. They have replicas there at Grafton, Illinois. So Grafton, Illinois is just a little bit north of St. Louis, what, about an hour and a half north of St. Louis. And so an easy day trip if people want to go up there, and they can board the ships. The ships are available for viewing between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. each day. And now this actually started May 27th, and it goes through Sunday, June 5th. So the Nina is a replica of the ship on which Columbus sailed across the Atlantic, and the Pinta is another replica recently built in Brazil to accompany the Nina on all of her travels. So people might be interested in seeing that. For more information, they can call 618-786-3494. That's 618-786-3494. 3494 to find out where they can find these. But Grafton, Illinois isn't that big. So if you go to Grafton, I'm sure you'll find them. And it should be very interesting. And why did I want to bring that in? Because many of us, when we were school children, learned the story of Columbus sailing the ocean blue in 1492. Mm-hmm. And often what is told with that is that everybody believed the world was flat, and that Columbus proved the world is not flat. And that's really not so. People have known for millennia, I mean for a couple thousand years before Columbus, that the world was round, spherical. And and in fact, the circumference of the Earth had been pretty accurately calculated by a guy by the name of Eratosthenes a couple hundred years before the birth of Christ. So the ancients weren't stupid, and they were able to figure out that the Earth is not flat. But actually, the idea that everybody was stupid and did think the world was flat until the days of Columbus were that kind of idea got promoted in the 1800s by some atheistic guys who wanted to, atheistic skeptics, Andrew Dixon White and John Draper, created the conflict thesis that Christianity held back the progress of science. One of their major arguments was that throughout the Middle Ages, the church had taught that the earth was flat. In creating this myth, Draper and White suggested that the church could redeem itself for this supposed error on the earth's shape by getting it right on the ground floor of Darwinism. This ploy was very successful in that much of the church capitulated on evolution. It also falsely altered history. It is this false version of history that most people have learned. So that's kind of an interesting fact. And what I was reading to you from is an article at the Answers in Genesis website. The article's entitled, "Is the Earth Flat?" By Dr. Danny Faulkner. Faulkner is an astronomer and used to be in South Carolina teaching at the university there. Now he works for Answers in Genesis. And it's a lengthy article, longer than we have time to read this morning. It's about a couple dozen pages long, but it's very interesting. And he begins by saying, why would you even write about a flat Earth? I mean, everybody knows the Earth isn't flat anymore. After all, we've got satellite images and so forth. Well, he says, you know, it's surprising that there are people that still are putting that out there. But part of the thing is, are they serious or are they just trying to yank on the chain of Bible believers and say, if you believe in the biblical account of creation, then you're really, really stupid, like people who believe in a flat earth. And so his article pretty much addresses that. And he also says, you know, it's surprising when he asks the question of modern students, you know, at the college level, and says, you know, challenges them to think critically. How do you know that the earth is spherical and not flat? You know, first, people think, well, we've got all the satellite pictures and so forth, so we know from that. But he says, well, again, if you're going to play devil's advocate, as some people do on the Internet, they would say, well, that could be faked, right? And so there are the people who believe the grand conspiracy that NASA, pretty much everything NASA does, the National Space Administration, is really about hoodwinking people. So no, we never went to the moon. You know, that was all fake, and all the satellites are fake, and all the space launches are fake. And so if people are going to tell you that that's all fake, could you prove the spherical shape of the Earth without satellite pictures? And a lot of people are stumped. But in this article, Danny Faulkner, you know, kind of walks you through how historically people observing things, that's what good science is about, right? Observing things using the senses and reason that God has given us to look at the universe that he made, and people were able to come to the conclusion that the earth was spherical by things such as looking at earth's shadow as it moves across the face of the moon when there's a lunar eclipse, and noticing that no matter what time of day you see the lunar eclipse and the shadow passing over the face of the moon, it's curved, and that already points to the fact that the earth is round and spherical and so forth. They also notice the stars and what stars you can see depending upon how far north or how far south you are, and that points to the fact that, okay, that the earth must be spherical because the position of the stars, the angle at which you see, like the North Star, for example, changes, and certain stars that are circumpolar stars in the circumpolar regions can only be seen if you're in this area but not in that area. So if you're too far north or too far south, there are certain stars that are not visible, which are visible if you go far enough in the opposite direction. You can notice the curvature of the Earth at the sea. You know, so people watching ships come, approach or go away have long noticed that, you know, you see the hull disappear or appear before you know, before or after the Mass, so you can kind of say, okay, the very fact that I can see the Mass before I see the whole as it's approaching, or that the whole seems to disappear before the Mass disappears as it's going away, that kind of indicates that. And also, if you're the sailor on the ship, where do you put the lookout? Up in the crow's nest, high in the mast, okay? Why? So that you can spot land. So Christopher Columbus and his people knew that, too. You have your lookout high in the mast to look for land because you can see farther that way. Why? Because if the earth was flat, that wouldn't make any difference. But because the earth is curved, you can. That makes that also argues for the spherical nature of the earth. And so it's a long and interesting article. I encourage our listeners to, you know, who might be interested in this, to read it. A little bit of it gets even technical when he gets to the end and makes the arguments for and against. And but basically, when he gets to the conclusion, you know, he talks about all these people on the internet that argue for a flat Earth, often poking fun at Bible believing Christians. Says, are these people who believe in a flat earth for real? It's hard to say. They could be well-intentioned but seriously misguided people, or they could be attempting to discredit the Bible and Christianity. If the latter, their approach is probably, quote, if you think that the Bible is literally true, then I'll show you just how literally true the Bible is, end of quote. But that is a false dichotomy. We here at Answers in Genesis don't say that the Bible is literally true. Rather, we understand that the Bible is true because it's the inspired word of God, and as such, it's authoritative on all matters and is reliable. The Bible contains imagery and poetry. However, those passages are easy to identify. When it comes down to the source of questions that matter here, such as did God create the world, the Bible must be read and understood historically and grammatically. That is, historical narrative does not lead to symbolical interpretation. Hence, the creation account is literally true. You know, six natural days and so forth, as at least some people behind the upsurges in the flat earth movement may be lampooning the creation movement. As such, they clearly are no friends of the church. Rather, they oppose Christ and his kingdom. I recommend that Christians be very discerning about their teachings. Also, if you want to know, does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? And I would say it does not. In fact, there are some passages, though this was not a huge matter that the Bible seems to be speaking about, but for example, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22 mentions the circle of the earth. And when you're looking from space on the earth it looks round. It looks like a circle. Likewise, Job 26, verse 10 talks about God inscribing the circle on the surface of the water as the boundary of light and darkness. You know, that's an interesting thought, the boundary of light and darkness being a circle. How would you know that unless you were looking down on the earth? Because usually you would just think of it as a line, wouldn't you? If everything was flat, you know, the circle, the distinguishing, delineating boundary between light and darkness, when the sun rises, as we say, you know, you would think it would just be a straight line. But you know, you describe it as a circle if you understand, oh, the earth is spherical, and so the boundary between light and darkness appears as a circle if you understand the earth is being round. Likewise, Job 26, verse 7, describes God as hanging the earth on nothing. That's quite a concept, too, when you think of, you know, many ancient religion, you know, Hindus and other peoples had these ideas of the earth being supported on the backs of elephants or turtles or bulls or this kind of thing. So thinking the earth had to be supported by something. Here is a description in Job of the Lord hanging the earth on nothing, floating in space. And so again, that's quite a concept. Now, the Bible doesn't say that in a lot of places, and so I'm not going to argue a big long line about how well everybody understood this. But it is interesting that we have these few places in scriptures that would seem to point to an understanding of the world being spherical and also hanging, floating in space. But here's the big deal. Why do we even care about these things? Just as why does Dr. Faulkner, Danny Faulkner, write about this? Jason Lyle wrote about this in the New Answers book as well. Why do people care? Well, we care because we want people to understand that the Bible is true and can be trusted in all things, but especially you want people not to reject the Bible and its message of salvation in Christ before they even have a chance to read it. And that's kind of the problem today, isn't it? With the theory of evolution being taught as fact everywhere you turn, people often think the Bible is just a bunch of myths and written at a time when people had were not smart and they didn't understand things nearly as well as we do today. And so if you don't believe what the Bible says about creation, fall into sin, the flood of Noah's day and so forth, then why would you believe about Christ? But we do believe, based on by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, we believe in Jesus as our Savior, and Jesus teaches us that the Bible is true from the beginning, and it's all about Him, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. We can no longer say that's all flat land out there now, because we know it's all, the earth is round. Thanks, Pastor Worth. Have a great weekend.
You too. God bless.